Good morning. Hope you're having a great Friday morning and looking forward to the weekend, and hope that if you don't have a home church, that you will be able to come and visit us at Anchor Baptist Church for Easter Sunday as we celebrate and reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you are local, hope that you will maybe invite some friends to come with you to church as well. And it's just going to be a wonderful Lord's Day. I'm excited about the text of Scripture we'll be dealing with. I'm excited about the music, how it'll be very Christ-centered, the Scripture readings. It's going to be a wonderful day to just celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And what I'd like to do this morning is kind of leave you with some final thoughts, some implications that flow naturally out of the text in front of us. And they're really going to come directly from the way that we close out this section, verses 30 and 31. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that last little section of this text of Scripture, which I really have not spent a lot of time on because this will be our focus this morning. So here's what the Scripture says. It says this: "Of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, the very first issue that the Apostle Paul is going to address in these verses, or in this part of the book of 1 Corinthians, is he's going to address the issue of rivalry and contention in the local church. And when he addresses that issue of rivalry and contention in the local church, he could have very easily said, just quit being contentious. Don't have rivalries. But instead of just telling them don't do it, he gives them a reason. And the reason that Paul gives them is rooted in the gospel itself. By the way, what he's laying out in these verses is going to be expanded in all these other areas that he addresses. Because the way that he addresses these sin problems is to always go back to the cross of Christ, what it accomplished, what it demonstrated, and how that impacts your daily life. But what I'd like to do this morning, as we think about all that we've talked about throughout the week, is I'd like us to ponder the implications of how the cross is both the wisdom and the power of God. So these verses tell us exactly what that is. The first implication that we find in these verses is found in the phrase, "of him." Now, if you look at this verse, it says, "It is of him that you are in Christ." Very simple statement. It's of him. And that phrase "of him" means that the work of our salvation is all a work of God. It didn't say, "of you are ye in him." It says, "it's of him." Now, that is not in any way diminishing the responsibility of people to respond to the gospel. I mean, he drives this point in these verses. There are some people who are in Christ, and there are some people who are not in Christ. And the reason that some people are in Christ versus not in Christ is what they do with the cross. Do they believe that it's the wisdom and power of God, or do they believe that it's weakness and it's foolishness and it's of no value? In other words, your response matters. You need to respond to the gospel, and you need to trust in the gospel. But the work that is involved in giving a person salvation is 100% the work of God. He does it. It is of grace. Faith is not a work we do for God. Faith is resting in the work he did for us. The second implication I want you to notice is the phrase, "are ye in Christ Jesus?" That is a positional reality. And that implication is this: when God saves us, he places us into Christ, where we are secured forever. And that little statement, "in Christ," is something we see all throughout the epistles. And whenever Paul talks about the blessings we have as Christians, he talks about them in relationship to being in Christ. Or when he talks about the responsibilities that we have as Christians, he talks about them as flowing out of our position in Christ. Or when he talks about the blessings that I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed and I'm justified and I'm alive, he always talks about them in reference of being in him or in Christ. And so implication one, our salvation work is all the work of God. Salvation, or implication number two, when we get saved, he places us in Christ and we are secured in that position forever. Implication three is this statement. Who of God are made unto us, and here are the words, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Again, they are unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, when Paul talks about in us, or unto us, he's saying those who have embraced the gospel, those who see the cross as the wisdom and power of God, who are trusting in the gospel, who are in Christ, of him, that salvation has caused God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice, to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption to us. And let me just break this down. When he talks about it being witness, what he's saying, our wisdom, is that literally it transforms how we think about God and his ways. Instead of me seeing the cross as something that's worthless, I see it as not only valuable and important, but I see it as the only hope that I have to be reconciled to God. Or that word righteousness means that God declares us not guilty, righteous in Christ. The term that we use is the term justified. God says not guilty. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, and in Christ, God can say, you're righteous in him. The third statement is the word sanctification. It calls us out of the world and sets us apart to God. The moment that a person trusts Christ as his Savior, he is set apart to God. He is declared to be a saint. And we saw that earlier in these verses where in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, it's unto the church of God, which are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So if you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, when God views you, he views you as righteous in Christ, as set apart to him, sanctified in him. The next statement, or the next word, is the word redemption. It means that God has paid in full the price to free us from the bondage of our sin and the weight of God's eternal wrath, and he frees us to walk in newness of life. The price was paid in full, and you and I no longer have to face the wrath of God because he has received the full weight of the Father's wrath against our sin. We are redeemed people. Implication number four. Anyone who has experienced this great salvation through Christ Jesus' work on the cross has only one place that they should glory. And here is the statement. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not in our pastor, not in the person who led us to Christ, not somebody who we have great respect for as a matured believer. The appropriate place for us to glory is in God himself, the work of Christ, glorying in the cross of Christ. So here's the question. What do we take away out of all these things? Well, we take away this final thought. The difference between the blessings of the gospel and the wrath that the cross carried on our behalf is how we respond to this message. There might be somebody here this week who has listened to these Anchored in the Word episodes, and as you listened, you went from recognizing that, or from believing that the cross was unnecessary, that somehow you could earn your way to God through keeping the law or doing the best you could, giving to your church, being as good a person as you could possibly be. And as we've worked our way through this text of Scripture, you realize something. I have viewed the cross as unnecessary, and I am actually in a position of unbelief. And if I'm in an position of unbelief because I believe that the cross is unnecessary, then I am ultimately under the wrath of God, and I need to turn to Christ. If there's anyone this week who's never placed their faith in the finished work of Christ, I want to encourage you, the best way that I can, to simply say this. Do not delay this matter. Embrace the cross and what it accomplished for you. See Jesus as your righteousness and as wisdom and sanctification and redemption. And turn to him in childlike faith and trust in what he did for you. And for the Christian, I want to encourage you. You need to live as someone who has been redeemed. You need to live consistent with the position that you have in Christ. You need to reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we go into this weekend, let's reflect, or let's really, really consider the weight of the fact that Christ not only died, but he rose from the dead. And he did not just, we were not just buried in the likeness of his death, but we were also raised to walk in newness of life. And so let's do that. Let's live as we are, God's people, redeemed, forgiven, set apart to God. Have a blessed weekend, and we hope to see many of you this coming Sunday. Bye now.